Well, I'm preaching, continuing through 1 Kings. I'm in 1 Kings 19, 19 and 20, on trusting God concerning his hand in your life, especially trusting that God really is always using you specifically for special purposes. And you might not feel like that's what's going on, but he is always using you for his special purposes, always. And the thing about it is he's created you for this, and he wants you to believe it, but he wants you to always believe it, because there are times where you might think that you believe this, but then all of a sudden something happens and you're not so sure. So what he wants and what we need to do, go in faith, knowing God is always using you no matter what. Prepare your heart for this sermon. Keep going in faith that God is using you. Let me pray. Father, bless us with your word. Bless us to keep going in faith that you're using us to get this from your scripture, to apply it in our lives by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the setting that we're looking at, the one I'm preaching from, the wife of King Ahab. King Ahab was not so great himself, but his wife was wicked Jezebel. And Jezebel had all the prophets of God in the land killed. But there was one prophet left, Elijah. And God ordained a drought because of Israel's idolatry. God used Elijah in that whole time frame. Now, James 5, 17 through 18 tells you Elijah was a man with a nature like yours. So you need to be thinking about that. He was a normal person like you. Yeah, he was a prophet. He's a man of God. You're a woman. I'm a man of God. You're a man of God. We are people with a nature like his. He was called. You were called. He had faith. You have faith. God's using you in our day. God used him. God told, so think about this, normal guy Elijah to announce the coming drought to King Ahab. And 3 years later, God used Elijah by sending him back to tell Ahab the drought was ending. Elijah had King Ahab gather all Israel to Mount Carmel with 850 false prophets of false gods. And Ahab's evil wife Jezebel loved those prophets. She also loved her false gods. And Elijah urged everyone, quit following the false gods. He challenged the fake prophets to their fictional gods. So they put an ox on an altar. Nothing happened. And then Elijah put an ox on the altar built for Yahweh. And Elijah had faith that God was using him. And Elijah asked the Lord two things. He said, "Oh Lord, answer me so that these people will know you are God." And then he said, "And that they will turn their heart back to you." Two things, very important. The next thing that happened was staggering. God sent down fire to consume the sacrifice, and it says when all the people saw it, they fell to the ground, confessing that Yahweh is God. Elijah's prayer of faith was answered. And so God showed he's God. God turned their backs back again. And so we're here. And so Elijah was seeing a way that he was being used by God. He was experiencing it. It was a great, victorious, miraculous, amazing day. And his faith was very strong and very stable. Elijah had the people that were there actually kill all the false prophets, 850 of them. Now, King Ahab apparently confessed that Yahweh is God also. Apparently. So Ahab let Elijah execute all those prophets. And then Elijah told King Ahab to be ready because rain was coming. And Elijah was going along in faith. And he was going along that he was being used by God. And Elijah prayed for the rain to come. And James tells us that Elijah prayed, and it was in faith that God used him in the process of bringing the drought. But James 5:18 also tells us that Elijah prayed in faith again, and the sky poured rain. Well, as Elijah was praying, small cloud comes. Elijah told King Ahab, "You need to quickly get on your chariot and you need to run back to Jezreel," where his palace was located. Well, that little cloud grew into a dark rainstorm, heavy rain. Rain came down in torrents, breaking the drought just as dramatically as the fire coming down to consume the sacrifice. It was God. And then it says this, "The hand of the Lord was on Elijah, that by the Lord's power, Elijah outran Ahab to Jezreel." Think about that. And this is part of the Spirit's urging to you. Because of being in Christ Jesus and Christ being in you, the hand of the Lord is always on you, caring for you and favoring you and using you to accomplish his righteous goals in this world, even now. Even now. Elijah kept going in faith that God was using him. That's what we need to do. Always need to be doing that. Go in faith that God's using it. Well, finally, they all arrived in Jezreel, King Ahab, Elijah. But this was only the beginning of a teaching session that Elijah was about to go through with God. When King Ahab got back to his palace, he told his wicked wife, Queen Jezebel, everything that had just happened. He also told her that Elijah had all the prophets killed. And Jezebel represents the mind of spiritual death. She ignored the miraculous revelation of the one true God. She ignored that God exposed the fakeness of her religion with supernatural fire. She ignored that God sent rain, ending the drought. She ignored that Elijah was God's true prophet. She clung tightly to her poisonous faith in her false gods. Her heart was welded shut to ever acknowledge that Yahweh is God. And so her heart was not turned toward Yahweh. It was bent on destroying Elijah. Her sinful heart kept believing Yahweh was only another God among many. Got a lot of people in our day that speak about our God that way. And she thought somehow things went wrong for the pagan prophets because of Elijah. And so she's focused on the man. She's not focused on God. Now, years earlier, Jezebel massacred God's prophets. Now her friends, the fake prophets, were massacred at Mount Carmel. And so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. Elijah's there now. He's in the town. She finds this out. So she sends one messenger to Elijah. And here's what Elijah was told. So may the gods do to me, Jezebel, and even more, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life, Elijah, as the life of one of those you had killed. Well, we've got to wonder why Jezebel didn't order Elijah's assassination by the messenger right then. Why only a warning threat? And what this does is it gives us kind of a bit of evidence to understand that when King Ahab and the others had fallen on their faces and confessing God, they were all sincere. And it suggests the people around Jezebel were not thinking like she was. They had a new reverence for God. And while Jezebel had the same old vengeful hatred in her heart for Elijah, things were different with the other people. And now, getting that unexpected message from Jezebel, Elijah suddenly quit looking at the situation with eyes of faith. Now think about this, because we need to be thinking about ourselves. Something odd but very familiar happened to Elijah. And though it's not the correct way, it's the kind of thing which can happen to you right in the middle of victorious living. You can be going along in faith. I mean, you know God loves you. Even in this time in this season, we're all thinking about Jesus, the coming of Jesus in the Christmas time. You know this. And you know that he loves you. He sent his son for you. And you know that he uses you, right? He's with you. He is for you. Scripture assures you that this is the way it always is for you. He's always for you. He's not against you. And he's always using you in some way in his plans. Has nothing to do with the way you feel about it. Has nothing to do with how pleasant the circumstances are around you. Has to do with God's unbreakable love relationship with you in Christ Jesus. God always, always, always loves you. He always, always forgives you. He's always working in your life by his Spirit, and he always has purposes for you. Now, the purposes are sometimes known. Some of them are not. But many of the details in it all may not be evident in what you see and what you feel and what you hear going on around you. There are aspects of God's will in using you that are unknown. And yet, God's always working, and he's using in you in some beautiful way in his grand plans, using you in your own unique calling. This is the biblical fact that you have, and you have security in this, that you are loved as a part of God's plan, and he's working it out with you, the loved one that's in there. That's the way it is with all of us that are in Christ. And this is the thing. He always involves you in the details. You're not an outcast. You're not outside of what's going on. You're not some unique Christian. This is you. But that familiar thing which can happen is that you go through times, you see a lot of blessing-like things taking place, the kinds of things you sense are good, they're satisfactory, they're almost perfect. They're what you can call times of feeling great in triumphs. You have success, happiness, excitement, perfect health, laughter, from fun times to just times of contentment, even peace. If someone were to ask you at those times, how are things going? You would say, things are just great. And in those times, there's a very strong sense of security. And in those times, you have no doubts about God using you. But then circumstances can turn, and they do turn. And they go in such a way that you don't sense goodness is happening to you. You get hurt. Others around you get hurt. You get threatened. You start to fear. Your faith starts to waver. Well, this familiar thing happened to Elijah. It says that after Elijah got Jezebel's message, he was afraid. And the famous Elijah, a man who had famous faith, who ran ahead of Ahab's chariot to Jezreel by the Lord's power because the hand of the Lord was on him, now actually ran for his life away from the city of Jezreel. All this miraculous testimony happened with Elijah. All of it did. And afterward, all of a sudden you see this, and it might seem amazing how easily and quickly he did this. You know, Elijah walked in unusually supernatural experiences. He just experienced the rain-stopping miraculously. And I did not get into all this, but God also had food delivered to Elijah from birds in the wilderness. God provided food for Elijah at a widow's lodging by miraculously replenishing the food daily. It just kept multiplying. 3 years. God miraculously rose up the widow's dead son when Elijah prayed. When God sent Elijah to Ahab, he met a man of God, Obadiah, wandering in the wilderness. Obadiah just happened to be out with the king looking for water. Elijah knew God made that encounter happen. Elijah saw God bring down fire on that altar. He saw God start the rain after prayer. King Ahab, all the people fell on their faces confessing God. This just happened. And after all these amazing things, miraculous, supernatural things, that normal guy with a nature like yours, because that's what it means for you to have a nature like his, that normal guy with a nature like yours is who reacted this way. You see what we're saying? He did like you do sometimes too. He became afraid, and then he ran. And the critical point on this ease in doing this is that it's an alert to you about how easily it can happen to you. All of a sudden, a slight turn of events stuns you off kilter with trusting God. You can lose sight of the fact that God is with you, that God's still using you. It is the truth, but you lose sight of it. Now, Elijah reacted by bolting into the wilderness. And what is even more incredible about this is that Jezebel said, "So may the gods do to her and even more if she does not kill Elijah." Well, Elijah knew she invoked false gods, but he snapped. And what that meant is that he did not continue in faith. Elijah relied on a survival instinct which was stronger than his trust in God. Now, this is a question. Probe. Get deep. Get honest. What survival instinct reaction have you had recently? Think. What has overwhelmed you? What has gotten you to the point that you want to get away from everything? Just think about it. Were you continuing to run to God with trust? If not, you know that you've been overwhelmed by a reaction of starting to walk by sight in the way events have turned instead of walking by faith in God who works all things together for good. That's what's happened. So let's listen for more lessons from the Spirit. And this is for me too. This is a big sermon for all of us. We're told that while in the wilderness, Elijah sat under a tree. And in recounting the events for the first king's record, Elijah evidently... How are you going to know about all these details unless Elijah tells you later, right? So, recounting these events so it's recorded, Elijah gave some details of turning to the Lord in prayer, but Elijah's prayer shows us a profound and disturbing trend in what happens when we walk in disrupted faith in our circumstances. Elijah's candidness with what he prayed shows us that we can align our faith into a completely crazy kind of direction. Have you ever had your prayers go into a completely crazy direction? I have. And it's usually when we're not trusting God, right? But what he prayed might sound familiar to you. You may have prayed something like it yourself, but it really slaps you in the face. You know what Elijah said to God? "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life." Amazingly, Elijah gave up on God's will in using him, and yet Elijah was seeking God's will to take his life. There's a lot to unpack in this. His full prayer was this: "It's enough. Now, O Lord, take my life because I am no better than my father's." Well, Elijah got to this way of thinking by making comparisons. First, comparing events with one person, Jezebel. Then, comparing events with his father's. And with these comparisons, Elijah was thinking that what he had been doing with his life was failure. Lack of faith will get you comparing, but comparing the wrong things. And that's what you'll do when you get your eyes off God and faith in His hand in your life. When you get your eyes off of that, you're going to go off in this crazy direction. And when you walk by that faith, by the sight that's fixed on God's will in all things, that faith, your comparison should be with the Word of God, the Word of God. And this is the only way I know to go onward. Be straightforward with you. You know, when I go through things like Elijah went through, what I carry, what I realize is I must stick with the solid ground of God's Word. I got voices coming at me from everywhere. And they're just faith-killing voices. They're Jezebels sending messengers. You get those? And the Spirit has shown me through His Word that everything else is just sinking sand. And so this is the real comparison that we need to be making, not the comparison He was making, that Elijah was making. This is what the Spirit is speaking to you this morning. The Word of God is what you must take your stand on as the firm foundation when your faith is shaken. See? Amen. So when it says walk by faith and not by sight, keep your eyes open to the Bible. So that sight you do keep, the faith in God's Word. We're not blind. We walk in faith. And that's looking at God's Word in faith. So I don't know what you're going through. I know what some of you are going through, but not all. But you know your life, and you know if it's shaken, and the Spirit's telling you, take your stand on the solid ground of God's Word. That's God's way for you to go forward. Now with Elijah, he finally falls asleep under the tree, and then an angel touched him, woke him up, and the angel spoke God's Word, get up, eat. And so sitting there near Elijah's head was provision again, like he had gotten from the ravens, provision like he had gotten from the widow. There was bread baked already. It was on hot stones, a jar of water right there in the wilderness by his head. So Elijah ate, he drank, then he fell asleep again, and then the angel of the Lord woke him up again, and he said, get up and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And so God was not answering the man with a nature like yours by taking his life according to his fervent prayer for God to do it. No. Scripture says, ask God and you'll get your requests if they line up with His will. And so the lesson is that God wants your will concerning your life to line up with His will for your life. And God is saying this, eat, because your life is mine. I want you alive to keep going in faith that I'm using you. See, this is what it's all about. God's using you. Your life is messed up. Maybe this country's messed up. God's using you in the midst of it. It doesn't matter where it goes. So Elijah ate, he drank, then he started out on a 40-day journey in the strength of that food. He went to Mount Sinai, the same mountain Moses had gone up to receive the old covenant law from God generations, generations, generations before. Elijah stayed in a cave there, maybe the same place Moses stayed. Who knows? But it's the same mountain. And like God spoke to Moses, it says the word of the Lord came to Elijah again. Stability is always in the word of God. So, are you in a life desert? Your Mount Sinai is the Bible. The Lord asked, Elijah, what are you doing here? So Elijah decided to lay out his explanation. This is his explanation. He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Well, now, yes, the sons of Israel had forsaken God's covenant with them. And yes, they had torn down God's altars. And yes, they did kill God's prophets. Basically, Jezebel did that. And it's why God sent Elijah to prophesy and do all these things. But 1 Kings does not tell us the sons of Israel were seeking to take Elijah's life. This is what he prayed to the Lord. King Ahab, Obadiah, all the people who showed up when God brought down the fire on the altar, poured out rain to the end of the drought, they weren't seeking Elijah's life. The guy who delivered Jezebel's message didn't seek Elijah's life. It was evil, wicked Jezebel who, relying on her false gods, by the way, sent one message stating her own desire for Elijah to be killed. And so, yes, Elijah had been zealous for the Lord, like he said, but what was going on now was running and running because he thought everything was wrecked now, like he'd been wasting his time, like he'd been failing. But none of that was true. Everything was such a success in his ministry and God's use of him. Jezebel's one threat got Elijah to walk in that weird fog of exaggeration that you can get into. I've gotten into it. It's a strange thing. It's like you just think everything is lost. You haven't done anything right. I'm the worst Christian around. God never answers my prayers. He doesn't use me. That's the craziest place you can go, but it often is where you go. Elijah went there. He told God, I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Lord said to Elijah, go stand on the mountain before the Lord. And what we see next is a theater lesson to be viewed and learned from what cuts through the fog. And it says, the Lord was passing by. Well, and so the Lord's there. As, by the way, he always is. Okay, not just speaking to Elijah in a voice, but there passing by, which is an incredible description. Think about that, passing by. Harkens back to Moses on the same mountain. Lord passed by, wrote God's word on stone. But the lesson to Elijah, the lesson to you, which cuts through the fog, remember, is that God is always there. He's always there. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. But listen to what it says. It says this, a great and strong wind was tearing up the mountains and breaking the rocks in pieces before the Lord. Elijah was this person that had this incredible privilege to see all these amazing, miraculous nature things happen before him, that God would rain down fire and break up mountains and stuff. And so here he is, this violent turmoil is happening, and it's before the Lord. Evidently, he sees the Lord in some sense, probably the angel of the Lord. And yet it says, the Lord was not in the wind. Now, the meaning for you and me, Elijah, is that everything happens, everything, even what's going on in your life, what's going on in this nation, even with the crazy, lying press that we have today, lying people that are trying to steal the vote and steal away your vote when you tried to vote, everything that happens, happens before the Lord. Everything happens before the Lord. Even tumultuous violence. Now, you may not see him in the violence, but the violence is before him. And then we read that after the wind, there was an earthquake. And it says again, the Lord was not in the earthquake. And you know what it's like when your life is an earthquake experience shakes you up. God may not be seen in the earthquake, but the earthquakes are always before him, every single one. And then it says there was a fire, same thing, Lord was not in the fire, but the fires of life are always before the Lord. You may not see him in the fire, but the fire is before him, and that's the faith. Understand, he's always your God, he's always for you, he doesn't leave you, and he is using you. And then it says that after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle blowing. And it says there followed a faint whisper, a voice that was quiet, hushed, and low. Well, this is the stable, calm, steadfast word of the Lord. And so you may not see God in respect to the violent, destructive events in your life, but he is assuring you, even now, he never leaves you nor forsakes you with this stable, calm, steadfast word. Rely on his word. It's the truth. And Elijah knew this was the voice of God. Look at God's word by the Spirit as the voice of God. So here he is, he wraps his face in his mantle and he goes out and he stands in the entrance of the cave now. And then the word of God came to him. And again, the voice said this, what are you doing here, Elijah? Well, you know what Elijah thought? He'd just repeat himself. So here's what he says. This might sound familiar. I've been very zealous for the Lord and the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Basically said the same thing. Now here, God did not rebuke Elijah. What did God do? He simply continued to treat Elijah like he was being used by him, being used by God. The Lord said to Elijah, now remember, Elijah just now says this back to the Lord, and here's what the Lord says. Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you have arrived, you will anoint Hazael king over Aram. And then you will anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. And then you will anoint Elisha to be a prophet in your place. And then God said, anyone who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death, and anyone who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. And so what was God doing? God's continuing according to his plans. He's got no problem. He sees the earthquake, sees the fire, sees all this stuff. He's basically telling Elijah that Elijah's fears and complaints don't stop the bigger picture going on in the world, and they don't stop God. And it doesn't stop your call, my call to keep going in faith. This is you. See, nothing stops your call to keep on going in faith that God's using you. Always trust that he's not left you nor forsaken you when mountains and rocks are being broken by the violent winds of adversity all around you, when life is an earthquake, when everything's on fire. Be listening, but listen to God's word. It's always stable. It's always calm. It's always sure. Well, what God said next exposed this radical contrast of one evil woman sending out a message to Elijah to threaten to scare him. God said there were 7,000 people in Israel who never worshipped Baal, ever, people who refused to bow or kiss the idols. So Elijah had been wrong, but very wrong, and he was wrongly acting like nobody else was left. And God allowed Elijah to go through all this wilderness experience of Elijah's own choosing. Why? To teach him a lesson about being steadfast, about keeping on, and about going in faith that God is using him, that God is using you. See? And so here's what we need to do. Absorb this lesson for ourselves. When you get scared, when your faith is shaken, and your mind starts going in every direction, you're just scattered brain, we could call it. When you want to run to the wilderness, instead of seeking God to kill you, recognize that God has never finished with his plans for your life. He's got more for you. See? He's never changed his template for you to keep going in faith in whatever it is. No. God designed you for this life. Okay? Keep going in faith that God is using you all the time, every moment. You are his child. Amen?